Our scripture text is taken from the book of Micah in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And, O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, for the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does God require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Shall we pray? O Lord, on this day, we are reminded of your goodness. We pray, O God, that your church may continue to maintain its steadfastness in faith and love. We pray through your grace that we proclaim your truth with boldness, and we minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. The title of this sermon, This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land, is based upon the song written by folk singer Woody Guthrie many, many years ago. In some ways, it is the secular rendition of God Bless America. It has a catchy tune with words easy to remember. This song has been parodied and has been manipulated in many ways through the years, and with the words changed. The following illustration should be prefaced with these words: any resemblance to actual persons living or dead in said churches is purely coincidental. At least I think so. However, I've noticed that those words to the song can be changed, such as, this road is your road, this road is my road, from Pensacola to Pembroke Pines. Seriously, or perhaps not so seriously, as an observer of drivers, I've noticed something interesting about certain motorists who choose the popular slogans engraved on license plates here in Florida. Well, for example, the Sunshine State license plate gang seems to behave like adolescent professional tourists in their driving acrobatics. Weaving should be their given profession. In the God We Trust license plate crowd, they behave like religious fanatics. When they hog the road, it's their way or the highway. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you're probably questioning and thinking, which one am I in that group? Well, I am in that smaller elitist group called the Polk County License Plate Title Holder. We may not be as sophisticated as the others, but we're mostly sane. In fact, the Guthrie song was the tune of the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy's 1968 campaign while running for president. As with the theme of This Land Is Your Land, God felt the same way about Israel. Micah wrote about God's anguish concerning of how the Israelites had drifted spiritually from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God truly loved Israel. By ignoring God, it was literally a slap in God's face with all the blessings given to Israel by God. For the Israelites, God to them wore many hats, and they manipulated God's generosity toward them, or that they thought they could do it. God's sovereignty in the Old Testament covered a plethora of characteristics, which included the God of salvation, the God of peace, the God of war, the God of harvest, just name it. And they had a title for God. And when they appropriately needed it, they would use it. Americans in 1776 were British subjects, but many of them had been reluctant to separate from the mother country. As subjects of the crown, they were privileged to owe their livelihood to the protection given to them as members of the British Empire and guided by His Majesty King George III. However, the crown relegated the colonials to second-class citizens much of the time. The American colonials wanted equal status with their cousins across the big water. Playing an inferior role made it difficult for them to accept. For American colonials, the attitude from London viewed them as not quite bright children. And so, enough was enough. Independence was the only recourse. Returning to the Bible again, Michael was a prophet who didn't refrain from expressing God's displeasure on these actions, which created an atmosphere of spiritual oppression. We may assume to have advanced in a civilized sort of way these days, but human nature continues to retain its rustic, primitive, and tribal charm as it did in the days of Micah. If we truly believe in the sacred teachings found in the Holy Bible and act upon those precepts, then our problems would not lead to conflict, depression, and doubt. In some ways, God, like the American colonials, was reduced to second-class citizenship by the Israelites due to their arrogance. Whether it was oppressed Israelites, discriminated American colonials, or people who witness injustice today, salvaging the best out of a disastrous situation can happen. Don't forget something. God will stand with us through thick and thin. I remember an incident from someone when events changed the course of their career forever. And I remember the person telling me, not just alone, but several other people, I was in a group. The Reverend Dr. Robert Bratcher died in 2010. His legacy was the Good News Translation of the Bible, or what is also called the alternative name, Today's English Version. I'm sure many of you have copies of it. Bratcher had urgently felt the necessity to produce a new Bible version that could be understood by people with limited education or who spoke English as a second language. For you see, Bratcher came from a missionary family dynasty with deep roots in Kentucky, who served for several generations his family did in Brazil. A brilliant biblical scholar, Robert later became professor at a seminary in Rio de Janeiro after completing his academic education in the United States. The Good News Bible truthfully was born out of the pain and suffering which happened to him while in Brazil. A seeker of truth and biblical honesty, Bratcher was accused by a zealous mission colleague of not adhering to a strict interpretation of some obscure doctrine. Most people probably wouldn't even know what it was, but this missionary had it in for Bratcher. Bratcher had only suggested that several biblical passages could be open to various interpretations, but nothing could appease the wrath of his envious co-worker. Though Bratcher was supported by the seminary faculty, students, and fellow missionaries, it was decided there was no recourse but to terminate his career as a missionary. Who won? Well, no one actually did, but as a future Bible translator, Bratcher accomplished more than he would have done as a missionary seminary professor. The primary concern on the mission board's part was that if this conflict escalated, then was discovered by their financial supporters in the United States, millions of dollars could be lost from such a scandal. So a sacrificial lamb had to be found, and you know who it was? Bratcher. In this case, money was the root of such evil. The American Bible Society immediately snatched him up, and the rest is history. Incidentally, he had another brother who also served with the American Bible Society as well. It was through this traumatic experience of Bratcher's that the Good News Bible was born. It has been used worldwide and even translated into dozens of languages. Bratcher acknowledged years later that God turned sour lemons into sweet lemonade, which for his life had surpassed anything previously of monumental importance. Never underestimate God. Remember this, never underestimate what God can do for you. There is always hope. You know, when the crushing weight of problems seem to engulf us, as happened in Bratcher's case, there is hope, even in pain. Don't give up. God will have the final word in the matter. God takes those negative challenges and replaces them with a liberated life and outlook through our humble submission to God's way, which guarantees a better life. In reality, Micah's reflection here is also a mirror image of God, who is gentle and forgiving. So there is nothing whatsoever to be afraid. Recently, USA Today newspaper reported a story about this terminally ill person in Holland who had a final request. His desire was to visit the animals at the zoo where he had worked for years. Upon his visit, the animals actually remembered him immediately. Through nudging and licking, those zoo critters reciprocated the love that their caregiver had given them. Momentarily, all pain was gone from this person because of these animals' loving gestures. This is an example of true grace and unconditional love that God also seeks to share with us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German Lutheran parson who was imprisoned during the Nazi regime and executed at Flossenbürg concentration camp in 1945, wrote, "Only the person who follows God without reserve and submits unresistingly to God's love discovers his or her burden is easier than first imagined. The commands of the Lord is easy for those who willingly submit, because the burden is light. Multitudes of people seek comfort, peace, freedom, and joy. How may we find it? Well, yielding our lives to God evolves into true commitment that is found by trusting God in all matters. May God truly set us free this day. After all, this land is your land, this land is my land, but in reality, it is all God's land. Happy belated Independence Day. Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, as we have witnessed through the Scripture today, how God seeks for us to do the best that we can through God's power. We pray, oh God, that may we be more dependent on God every day of our lives. May we never neglect in prayer our communication with God. May we serve God with joy and happiness. Help us, O God, when we are faced with problems and crises that we seem are overwhelming in our lives, but we can remember that you are there for us. You will stand with us always. Help us, O Lord. We seek you through our weakness. This we pray through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Let us now join together as we lift up our voice and affirm our faith in the Lord Jesus through the Apostles' Creed today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God bless you this Sunday, and may you have a blessed week as well. Amen.